Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 74, The Facets of Faith. Enoch Paul delivered this message in the Practical Strategies for Victorious Living series on May 5th, 2019.
And I receive this, Lord. I pray that this word would go deep into our hearts, into our minds. It'll transform us. It'll change us. We don't want to be casual Christians. We don't want to be common Christians. Lord, when you walked on the earth, there was nothing too casual and common about you. Wherever you went, people marveled. And if you're living inside of us, we might just be a little bit of that. So, Lord, where we need to course correct, where we need to change, where we need to grow in terms of faith or any other area, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to speak. I give you permission to change. I give you permission to overturn tables, kick out things, because that'll be the most loving thing you would do. We don't want the same old, same old. We don't want to do church. We don't want to. We want to be just like Jesus. And you said we are like him. And so, Lord, whatever it takes, have your way. We give you permission. We thank you for this word. I pray you would speak to each one of us. Let none go out of those doors the same. If they need some energizing, I pray you're welcome to shock us all. We want to be changed. And as you said now, that's your desire as well. So we welcome you. Speak to us. And Lord, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are going to talk about faith. So, sometime back, I gave a message on faith. And it's not a part two of that. With faith, it's one of those subjects you can go any direction and you can talk. The 15 things about faith, the 10 steps of faith and all of that. So you can go any directions. So God specifically led me through this direction. And seriously, I kid you not, I did not prepare this message. I just sat down and copied what he said.
Praise the Lord.
So if you feel it's boring, it's not my fault.
Okay, Adam, blame Eve.
He says, ha ha, funny. We'll talk a little longer. So the gist of my message is this. You may get, you know, from the first point to the last point, you may get a whole lot of things. But I encourage you to pray in your hearts and ask, show me one thing. I'm okay with two things or even three things that I need to change so I can walk like Jesus. So I can walk like the first century church where I can go and speak a blessing. And God does supernaturally do that. By the way, it's possible. Maybe in the Western world, we've become so calloused in doing church. And I am guilty of that too. Sometimes I have to kick myself and says, this is not how I want to live. I want to live in the cutting edge of the supernatural. By the way, God is not supernatural. God is totally natural. It's totally natural for him to raise the dead. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's go after church. Let's go to the local hospital. Lutheran or Parkview, wherever you go. We should. So pray and ask God to speak to you, something about the godlike faith. Because when Jesus walked here on earth, he walked full of faith. He had faith. He had the godlike faith. And it was just common. I used to think that when people, we pray, we minister here, and sometimes we go out and minister in teams, and we pray, and, nothing happens. And we're like, yep, keep praying, God will do something. But when I read the Bible, it says immediately. And immediately the leprosy.
Right.
went off. And I'm thinking, okay, if you and I are the same, because I'm in him and he's in me, right? What's going on, Lord? What's going on? What do you have that I don't have? Now, there's no condemnation, as Brother Don said. There's no condemnation. We're growing. But where do I need to grow? Or what do I need to remove from me? Many a times, you can figure it out by the language, what you speak. Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. And you know, the devil does not have anything new. He just uses the same old, same old. But you know what? We're smarter than him. Amen. Right? So we've got to figure this out, and we have to work at it. Not as in, what do I do? What do I perform? But maybe the simplest thing is to believe. So the gist of this message is this. And I sat down and wrote down. I was like, what do I speak about, Lord? And this is what he gave me. And then so I wrote this. If faith can move mountains, then why does it seem that some of our answers, prayers, avail nothing? Why does it seem like sometimes we're just praying this over and over and over and nothing seems to be happening? How can we effectively operate in faith all the time, every time, all times? Every time. It's like going to the bathroom. It just happens. It shouldn't be a miracle. It should be just natural. Lastly, how did Jesus operate in faith? Because the greatest thing God has given us is his word. I can tell you that the answers are right there. Maybe sometimes we are just skipping over. And it just goes over our head. Or we are not looking into the deeper level. And I thank God that he has always revealed his heart to us through his word. So we're going to go into that and take a glimpse of how Jesus did it, his modus operandi, and how to walk in faith and how to practice it in our own lives. Because, by the way, that faith that you have is not just for you. When I first started this, and I'm saying this might be controversial, I'm just still working out with him. I always thought, you know, when I pray and something doesn't happen, they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith, or you know, they're just having baby faith. They didn't have faith. You know, I realized the Lord, he said, nah, that's not it. How many times Jesus healed when the other person didn't have faith? I'm beginning to think, nah, you didn't get healed. I prayed for you. You didn't get healed because you didn't have faith. I don't think it's even right. Which means you can come in unbelief. I'm not saying you come in unbelief. Like if you are born again, how many born again? If you're saved, you have Jesus in your heart, you better have faith. It doesn't matter how much, because faith is the mustard seed. Have you seen a mustard seed? Yeah. I remember I showed you once. I still remember in my journal. Small, tiny bit. If you have, you ought to have a mustard, at least a mustard seed size faith. But when I go out, if there's somebody who has no faith, the only way he or she will be touched by the goodness of God is when I meet their needs, whether it's healing or something, and they see, whoa, this works. Jesus is not a myth. Remember when Jesus went to Bethany, Lazarus, you know, was dead, and, you know, he said, you know, Martha and Mary came crying out, and they said, if you were here, he would not have died, you know. Like, and Jesus very coolly says, yeah, you know who I am, right? You know he's going to rise up again. Right? And she says, oh, I know. He's going to rise up in the resurrection. They didn't believe. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. It's not an event. It's a person. It's me. Amen. And then Jesus looks, you know, towards the, he goes there and he says, Lazarus, come out. I heard a commentary, they said, I'm glad he said Lazarus, come out. If he just said, come out, all the dead bodies would have come out. Hey, it'd be like the movies. Call the next village too. There's a lot of dead bodies here, alive now. So here's the thing, and I'm just throwing this as a spanner in the works. I don't think it's necessary for me to tell an unbeliever when I'm going and ministering, you better have faith. But as a child of God, I better have faith, because nothing is moving without faith. So it's not dependent on others, it's dependent on me. It's dependent on you. If you are a child of God, He has already given you faith, and we'll go into that. Amen? Was that a short introduction? Okay. Let me start with a joke. I didn't even start. It must be the anointing. An elderly lady was well known for her faith and her boldness in talking about it. She would stand in front of her porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" The next door neighbor, who was an atheist, would get so angry every time she would do that. And he would shout back, "There ain't no Lord out there." Well, hard times set in, and the elderly lady, she prayed to God to send some assistance. She stood on her porch one day and shouted, "Praise the Lord! God, I need food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." Well, the next morning, the lady went out on her porch and saw that there was a large bag of groceries out on her porch. And she shouted, "Praise the Lord!" like usual. Guess what? The neighbor jumped from behind a bush and he said, "Aha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought that groceries, not your God." To which the lady replied, "Praise the Lord. He not only sends me groceries, he makes the devil pay for it." Great is her faith. Church, the world will come at you, left, right, up, down, to refute, to nullify, and to bring down your faith. We don't have to go by that. I was listening to a long time back, years back, a documentary on History Channel. We don't have a TV at home, so whenever I go to my in-laws, you know, I'm looking at all the history, National Geographic, you know. I like stuff like that and watch those things. And they were talking about the Red Sea and the exodus of Israel from Egypt and all of that. Now, of course, they had like few PhD doctors talking from their side of story. And so I was fascinated how they tried to refute, you know, technically this could have happened and that could have happened and all of that. Which reminded me of a story that I read, which happened in real life, about this professor and this pastor talking about, did it really happen? Did they really cross the Red Sea on dry land? Come on, you know, how does that happen? The east wind? Yeah, east wind. How can an east, I mean, it would have blown the people off and all of that. So this professor, PhD, said this, that, you know, if you actually look at the landscape, that there was an underground landmass that was lifted up between the two shores. So they basically walked on maybe an inch or two of water. That's why it seemed like they were walking on dry land. But there was water. It was an inch or two of water. And so the Israelites, they saw and they just walked across. To which the pastor said, "Praise the Lord! God is so awesome. Isn't he miraculous?" And the professor was like, "I don't get it." He said, "How in the world would he drown the greatest army at that time in 2 inches of water?" You see, we have been given the mind of Christ. Anything the world brings to us, we can easily refute. I'm telling you, this, the devil is not smart. I call him the wimp. Because he ain't got nothing new. Well, he does come up like a roaring lion, and many a times we back off. Whoa, Mr. Devil, watch out, you know. You know, I think, I'm not saying go call on him and engage. That's not our job. Our job is to engage with Jesus, have a fun time with him. But when the lies come in, especially lies that try to take down our faith, we can refute it.
Amen.
Amen? So the body of the message, I want to start with Mark 11, verses 20 to 24. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 24. We're talking about faith. And the title of the message is Facets of Faith. And I'm going to talk about just a few facets. Something that I believe might help me and you get to the extra next level where we are very sure about our faith. By the way, if you are not sure, you might want to sit with the Lord and make that sure in your heart and mind. Because out in the world, you don't have any practice time. You ought to be ready. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 to 24, and I'll read in the New Living Translation. I like that version. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember the story? Jesus goes to look at the, you know, he's hungry. He looks at the fig tree to see if there are any figs. No figs. Jesus curses it. And so now they're coming back in the morning. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now I can stop right there. And I'm not kidding you. Bless you. Bless you again. You can take that verse for a spin. It's like a brand new Ferrari parked out and you're looking and it's like a keys. It's like, whose keys are these? And you're like, wow, a bright red shiny car, a Ferrari at that. I'm going to take it for a ride. I don't know whose that is. His keys are in my house. I'm going to go for a ride. It's one of those things. You've got to take that for a spin. It's loaded. It's like Clint Eastwood. He never goes to a fight without a loaded gun. I like the Clint Eastwood kind of faith. It doesn't matter if there are 10 people. Oh, he's quick. I like that. He says, have faith in God. By the way, that phrase, have faith in God, in the original translation is, have faith of God. And that's how the introduction of this sermon is, have faith of God. If God, by the way, God has faith. He has no doubt about it. When he said, let there be light, guess what? Light had no time to waste. Boom, happened. Boom, it happened. I have the faith of God. You have the faith of God. So in the original, it says have faith of God. So what is this faith that God has? What does it look like? I'm going to touch on a few things here that I call the facets of faith that I believe can touch on these things. Now, this is not all of it. Like I can say, faith can go in any different direction. So we have the order of faith. We have the order of faith. You know, we have the first level, the second level, third level, fourth level, and fifth level, which means we all are in some level in that. The first level is a measure of faith. The second level is growing faith. The third level is great faith or persistent faith. The fourth level is unwavering faith or enduring faith. And the fifth level is strong faith or overcoming faith. Now, there are other facets of faith in the Bible, active faith, you know. Anyone who hears the word, doesn't do it, guess what? Hey, you're not having faith. You're not doing it because you don't believe it. You heard it, yeah, but it's just sitting down there. So there are different facets of this. I'm going to focus on just these. The measure of faith, growing faith, great faith, unwavering faith, and strong faith. Number one, the measure of faith. We begin with the measure of faith because without it, none of the succeeding steps of faith would be possible. So a measure of faith is given to all men by God. To all men by God. You have a certain amount of faith already inside you. Even if you're an unbeliever, I believe God's programmed you. Now, can you imagine? You're made in the image of God. I don't care if you don't believe in God or Jesus. If you're made in His image, well, there's a deposit of something from Him. That's why He's after you like the hound of heaven. You know why? You got a piece of Him. Everybody has a measure of faith. Now, let me prove that to you. When you came into the church, did you have absolute total faith that the chairs that you're sitting on are going to hold you?
Yes.
Did you test it?
No.
Did you shake it? Kick the legs? It's like, yep, the screws all in place. If you fly, you know, if you travel from one place, you fly in the airplanes, have you wondered if that big metal object is going to stay afloat when it's going up in the air? Did you ever figure out if the pilot was a little psychotic? Is he okay? Do you know how many times, you know, I'm in the aviation, how many times we get reports of them getting pilots off because they were drunk? Yeah. But how many times do you actually think about it? Is that guy drunk? You know, when I'm traveling for my conferences, sometimes the pilots are very funny. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's like, oh God, he's got a drink or two. I'm closer to heaven now, Lord. But you exercise faith. You exercise faith. I do pray when I drive the vehicle, you know, whenever I get off, you know, get on the vehicle and drive, I pray. But it's all a measure of faith. Now, everybody has some kind of faith, some measure of faith. It is, what is this measure of faith? It is a faith that has not grown. It has not grown, but is sufficient for belief in God and salvation. It's not grown. It's a baby. The babies need diapers. They still need diapers. But it's not grown yet. Hey, but it's sufficient to have a breath, live, and grow. The good news is you can't get any lower than that. The good news is you can only grow up.
Right.
But the bad news is God has given you the choice, the sanctity of choice, so you can say no. And that's why people say no. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. He believes in you.
Amen.
I think I'm preaching to somebody, maybe out there. Romans 12:3, the Apostle Paul admonishes the church. He says, not to think more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. When you come to church or when you go through circumstances, when you have issues and problems, it's fun time because now you can exercise your faith. Don't ever think, because Satan will always come to bring doubt. Don't ever say to yourself, if you feel like it, just refute it. Don't ever say to yourself, I don't have faith like that. You don't need faith like that. If you're saved, I'm believing you're all saved. If you're saved, you have enough faith to kick the devil's butt.
Amen.
Go practice. Might as well do it. This measure of faith is a gift from God, so you didn't earn it. You can't perform enough to get it.
Right.
It's free. Who likes free stuff? I like free stuff.
Amen.
Buy this and you get this. You know, I go to Earth Fair. You know, I don't look for deals. You know, I'm one of those shoppers. You know, I just close my eyes, you know, get the milk and whatever and go off. And then I'll see and like, oh, that was on a deal. You know, and I was like, sure, I'll get some for Tina, you know, like extras. I like that. You know, especially when they, he's like, buy one, get one free. But this is free. You have a measure of faith. I can stop the sermon here and say, go practice now. That's your prerogative. You need to go practice it. And the fun thing is, the more you practice, the more it grows. The more it grows, oh, we'll talk about that in the second level. We'll stop right there. This measure of faith is a gift from God. Everybody starts from that place. Everybody starts from that place. It's guaranteed. This may seem controversial, like I said in the beginning, but I do believe every human being comes with a measure of faith. That faith is activated when it comes in contact with the Word. That's why you need the Word. You need the Word. That's why we go out in teams, revive. That's why 270 people gave their lives. And by bonus, signs, wonders, miracles, blindness healed and dead raised. Amen. Hey, you know what? It's not just for South America or Africa or Asia. It's here. It's here. Now, if we have to be the only church in the city or in the state or in the United States that believes God literally takes him for face value, so be it. We are having the fun anyway. We're talking about saving faith. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Paul said, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And again, remember I told you, you need the Word to activate it. It's like baking soda and vinegar. Both of them separated cannot work. You have faith, but you have to activate it. You know, sodium is very poisonous. It'll kill you. It doesn't even stay stable in normal room temperature. They keep it under kerosene. Chlorine, very dangerous, a poisonous gas. But you and I partake of it every day. Sodium chloride, table salt. Why? There is a combination. Maybe the faith that we have needs a combination. And Tina explained it beautifully. Get the Word in.
Amen.
Meditate. And then you will see signs, wonders, and miracles. You know why? You can't keep a good word down.
Amen.
Again, in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17 says, "For how can they believe on him whom they have not heard?" So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That comes out of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you might say, what about atheists? I truly believe this. There are no true atheists, real atheists. Because atheist means you have absolute knowledge and you are totally sure there is no God. At most, the people who claim to be atheists are agnostics, which means, I'm not sure about it. There is no true atheist. Because you can't have absolute knowledge. What are you refuting? God? That's what you're refuting. But that's what you're saying is not existing. You're confused. Do you know Richard Dawkins? Who knows Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawkins, one of the foremost atheists, very belligerent. And he debates all the theologians and pastors and, you know, has a heyday. He wrote a book called God's Delusion, basically telling the delusion. Faith is delusion. And he was once debating the vicar of St. Paul's Cathedral in the UK, United Kingdom. This is a live radio debate. And he was telling about how Christians don't know their Bible and they have no faith. And, you know, this is just a delusion. It's a notion because most Christians don't even know all the books of the Bible. Yeah. Most people don't know all the books of the Bible. To which the vicar said, Richard, I know you believe in the evolution. And your Bible is the Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. I said, yeah. And you believe it, right? Like, yeah. Could you name me the full title? I kid you not. You can go Google it. He goes, yeah, I know. I know the full title. It is on the theory of evolution. Oh, God. I kid you not. It's documented. You can YouTube it. Oh, God. Ravi Zacharias, I love Ravi Zacharias, the apologist, says the ultimate proof of the sovereignty and omnipotence of God is that it even takes an atheist that doesn't believe in him to call on him to remind him of the title of the book that helped him deny him. God is so funny. I bet God was rolling on heaven's floor, belly laughing. He's like, I love this boy. I'm going to get him one day. I'm going to get him one day. By the way, the full title of The Origin of Species is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That was the full title. And so guess what? You're not even an atheist. You don't even know the Bible that you believe in. So basically, the vicar said, you know, you can't just extrapolate that. But we are talking about measure of faith. We all have the measure of faith. That's why when we go out in teams and when we go out, you know, in our offices and share, we don't want to bring guilt and condemnation to people. That's not my job. It's the accuser's job. I'm not in his ministry.
Exactly.
I want to go and show the goodness of God. And when they receive the goodness of God, I'm going to slip in a word. And that word will go in. It'll touch the measure of faith. And like baking soda or vinegar. Remember that baking soda or vinegar. Go, something happens. I just want to touch the depth of your soul where that measure of faith is. I want to step out and let the Holy Spirit work. It works.
Amen.
It works all the time.
Amen.
If you have a family member you're praying for, it works there too.
Yes, amen.
All righty, measure of faith. Number two, growing faith. So measure of faith. Everybody starts there. It's the basic. And then growing faith. A growing faith steadily progresses from the measure of faith to a great strong faith. It is continually growing. Most people, I would say, Christians, are there. We are growing. And it's not a bad thing. We don't want to keep growing where we do not use it. We want to keep growing, but as we grow, we want to keep using it. Because that growing faith pleases God. We know, right? Without faith, you can't please God. Absolutely not. And God delights when he sees his children growing and becoming just like him. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they address the church. The trio, the three musketeers, they address the church. They say, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly.
Amen.
And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. But the focus I'm wanting to focus on here is because your faith grows exceedingly. You know, we've had four babies, and when they're babies, they just have milk. And then after some time, they start eating solids. We call them mush. and then they start eating bigger pieces. That is growing. Now, God delights in your growth. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you quit growing, get grown up, and get going. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you should not. You will keep growing for the rest of your life. That's the good part. But I don't want to stagnate in my growth process where I am not practicing. That's what I'm saying. Because you can exponentially grow when you start practicing. Remember, you don't need great big faith. You already have that measure of faith, or else you wouldn't be sitting here. As nutritious milk helps a baby to grow strong and healthy, spiritual food will help a baby Christian grow into a deeper level of faith. So that faith does not, the faith that does not grow will start stagnating. The faith that does not grow will start stagnating. You are responsible for your growth. Sometimes, and I know in my personal life, I've seen where I got saved in my fourth grade, but I did not grow because I did not feed the word inside my spirit to that measure of faith. But praise God, God was still interested in me. And so when I finished high school, came out into the college, he put me with a bunch of guys who loved the Lord, and I started growing there. Now I've seen people who have been just saved for 2 years, and they are radical on fire. Why? They are consuming. They are gluttons for the word, and they are getting in. So the growth is dependent on you. God's given you faith. He has given you, called you, He's equipped you, but you've got to start working to grow that faith. So the faith that does not grow will stagnate. It will be weak and incapable of doing great exploits for God. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God will do great exploits. You know what? That's a promise. Amen. I know my God. I am ready to do great exploits, and I will keep doing great exploits for Him. So yesterday, Sanna started riding her bike. And I was thinking, how in the world did that happen? Now, obviously, we have those trainer bikes, not the training wheels. She, you know, sits on the seat and uses her feet. And I remembered while she was doing that, I remembered a year or so back when Aaron started, and he was always, and he would go fast on that, but he would not graduate to the pedal bike because he couldn't keep his feet down. And now he had to put the feet on the pedal and pedal and pedal. And for a long time, he said, no, no, no. So the beginning of winter, we were trying, you know, and he kept saying, no, no, no. I want my pedal-less bike. And we were like, what do we do? You know, then winter came. We didn't go out because, you know, it's cold and snowy and all that. And then as soon as winter got over, this is last year, he just decided, well, give me the pedal bike. You know, we had a pedal bike for him just sitting around. And I was not there. I was in the office. When I came back, my wife said, look at him. And I saw him on the cul-de-sac, as if he had known this all his life, pedaling. And now he's a speedster. I'm going to ban him from bikes. He asked me the other day, can I buy a bike when I grow up? I said, no. I buy you a car. Four wheels better than two. Plus, bikes are costly. But you get my point. That growing phase is joyful to the Father. Now, he's going to graduate from that to the bigger bicycles. And bicycles with speeds, you know, that you can adjust. Johan has one. Lord have mercy. Tina chooses all these costly bikes. I need to have two jobs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But you get the point. You have a measure of faith that is your beginning, but you also have the stage where you have to keep growing. Growing faith. Number three, great faith, or persistent faith, great faith. So when I look at a chart, it's like the beginning, and then you have a growing faith, and then you have come to a place of maturity where as you walk in that faith that you have come in, God looks at it and says, that is great faith. This is a kind of unrelenting, totally persuaded type of faith that does not give up until the request is granted. I'm standing right here till I get it. I believe it, so I receive it. I name it, so I claim it. I ain't moving, Lord. And God says, oh, I like that. We see this kind of faith in Matthew chapter 8. Now let me turn to that. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. It's a centurion comes to Jesus. You know, remember the story about this, his sick servant? And Jesus said to him, I love this. I read it a few days back. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. And then I stopped and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, a lot of people, Christians, think, you know, they are too prideful if they say, I'm going to come and heal you. Well, he lives inside of me, so I can very well say, I'll come and heal you. Oh, Lord, I'm just a vessel, Lord. You are God. I can't do anything. No, I'm not bragging about myself. I know who I am without him. Hey, because he's in me, I'm not going to live in where I am not. I'm going to live and say, I'll come and heal you. You, yeah, because the king's inside of me. Amen. I touch you, he touch you.
Amen.
You know, I feel sometimes when the anointing comes, I get into a swagger and ghetto language. I got to talk to the Lord about it. So the centurion says to Jesus, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, that is quite a thing. When Jesus, the most marvelous being, is marveled, it's like, whoa. And he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now let me tell you this. That centurion was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He heard. He had that little measure of faith. He heard. Oh, maybe. Well, I'll call him. I'll let him. You know what? You and I have a great measure of faith. We're not baby Christians. I mean, even if you're a baby Christian, that's fine. You have that measure of faith to move mountains. And again, in Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28, we read about the woman from Canaan, a Gentile, not a Jew, a Gentile, who came to Jesus and requested him to heal her severely demon-possessed daughter. Oh, I love that. I sometimes just read, you know, it's like watching some videos that are motivational videos. I read these portions every now and then. Ooh, let me read that again. And he says, he refused. He's like, you know, I came for the Jews, you know, not the Gentiles, you know. And he says, I've been sent to the Jews. She persisted. And she demonstrated a level of faith that astounded the master. So much that Jesus responded, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. I love the dialogue. It's not good to give the bread that's for the children to the dogs. Ooh, brilliant, brilliant response. Some people say, you call me a dog. You ain't know nothing about me. You don't know anything about me. You know, we're so quick to get offended. We are not persistent. We are not in that place of great faith. I have so much great faith, I move mountains. If not, I'm going to move the chair in which God sits so I get his attention. By the way, he's always constantly looking at you. You don't have to do and dance and all of that. But you must have great faith. Jesus looks like, oh, brilliant. I loved it. I loved it. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. You know what? Many of the Gentiles there, the Samaritans, the Canaanite who came and turned back, he refused. Okay, let's go back. She did not. She did not. How much more the children of God, who we are. Great is your faith. Great faith will always move God to answer. Your turn to practice now. Try it. Oh, I gotta go. Next one, number four. Let me go fast. Unwavering faith or enduring faith. Unwavering faith. That's another big plateau. You know, you start from measure of faith, you're growing faith. Now you got the great faith. And now you are into unwavering faith, where that greatness is sustained. Unwavering. When you come to the next devil, there will be a next devil. If you think you are in this level and you can't handle the devil, when you go to the next devil, there'll be a bigger devil. You know why? Someone will think, oh God, I just defeated the small guy. Now there's a big devil here. Because God loves when you kick butt the devil. Because ultimately he's going to come and put him up. And he says, I'm going to give that same authority and privilege to my children. I'm going to watch for a few thousand years and see how fun it is. You and I have the privilege. And it is done by faith. It is done by faith. Unwavering faith is to believe God without question, regardless of how real your circumstance is, how real your problem is. You have the key to put it asunder and live by faith. What is unwavering faith? We read in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know what he's saying? I am the guarantor. You go do it. You go do it. I am the guarantor. I'm going to stand right behind you. One of the things that I love, and I always go, it's my hiding place. One of the hiding places in my walk is one day, and I wrote the date in my journal. I was praying, and he came and whispered to me, and he says, Enoch, I will back you 100%. It was one of those times when I felt like, oh God, I think I butchered this message and I didn't do a good job. You know how you prepare this much and you give this much and you think, it didn't go well. I heard the Lord come and say, I will back you 100%. You know what? I have taken that to the bank. The days that I don't feel great about myself, which is very far few in between, I always go to that. You said you're going to back me. Guess what? He's right behind me. I'm confident now to go. Unwavering faith is to count those things that be not as though they are. Unwavering faith is depending on the unchanging God and on his unchanging word. Did you get a word from the Lord for something that you've been seeking for? You got it. You got it. Have unwavering faith. There is no need for God's children to be trapped in fear, weakness, poverty, despair. That's not our portion. Amen. I've got my portion. Do you have yours? In James chapter 1, verses 5-1, it says, if anyone you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, unwavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable, wavering in all his ways. Wavering in all his ways. Your believing is your action. If you didn't know that, your believing is your action. When you genuinely believe, you have acted. You have stepped out. The act of believing is a necessary step in getting what you want from God. Now, that might seem simple to some, but for some people, it's a big step. But take it anyway. I don't know why the Lord is doing this, but I'll share it because He's telling me that. How many have seen the movie Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? The eyeball sticking out. The Last Crusade, where he goes to get the chalice. Do you remember that scene? Hey, it's not my fault. He's telling me he likes Hollywood movies, I think. Do you remember the scene where he comes and he has to cross over the chasm and there's nothing there? And he says, you know, I read it in the book. It's called The Step of Faith. Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
Do you know, there's nothing new in Hollywood. It's already there in the Bible. The Word tells you how to take the step of faith.
Right.
He doesn't know what to do. He's like, oh. And he closes his eyes and I'm going to... And then he's like, whoa, what is that? I don't see anything. But there's something. Then he takes some mud, sand, and he throws it, and he sees there is a structure, but it's invisible. The step of faith. I don't know why he reminded me that. Maybe there's something to it. When you have genuinely believed, you have acted. Let me tell you a true story, and I read this. I was so excited about this story. It's a true story that happened during the French Wars. A train was carrying dispatches, special secret messages, to the headquarters where the war was happening. And it was compelled to go over 60 miles of very rough tracks and roads and reach its destination within an hour. In those days, they were not too fast. So the engineer of the train, he had the dispatches, the special secret messages to go to the war headquarters. He also had his wife and child in the coach. And he was gunning it down, going beyond the allowed speed. Why? The message had to reach within the hour. Every moment threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or of the bridge as it rolled from side to side. He was gunning it down. He was rushing past stations, rushing past people, and the few people who were inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. But there was one person on that train who knew nothing of their fear, and that was but a little child. Happy as a lark, she laughed around. When asked if she was not afraid, she responded, "Why, my father is at the engine driving." A little later, that engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife, and as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his face, the child leaped into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and as peaceful as when at home. "You don't know, my daddy's driving this train. It's going to be all right." I remember this. God brought this to my attention. I was a very little, probably like Aaron. And my dad, we were traveling 2 days journey to go to our relative's place for vacation. And he got off the train in one of the stations and he was buying somewheres. And the train moved and he was holding me. And I remember him running and catching. I had no doubt. Train's not going to go. I remember once I was sitting with my mother in the train, and the train moved, and I was telling my mom, "Where's daddy?" Because I know he went got down in the station to get water or something. And my mom very coolly said, "Don't worry. The train wouldn't move without daddy." And it got faster and faster. The station went off. No sign of daddy. And I'm sitting there. And then I see him come into our coach. You know, my heavenly daddy's taking care of everything. He's the driver. Don't matter if it goes faster than it's usual, but it's okay. We're talking about unwavering faith. Last one, strong faith or overcoming faith. Strong faith is mountain-moving faith. Woo! I like that. Abraham did not waver. We read in Romans 4, 20, 21. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham had strong faith that refused to surrender or be defeated. Following the faith of Abraham is the way to receive what might be considered, for some of us, impossible things or unprecedented things. Strong faith will not be turned away, regardless of what situations you face, what problems you may have, or what you are asking. It digs in and holds fast until it receives what God has promised you. You know, most Christians desire this level of faith. We want to raise the dead. We want to be in that place waiting for 25 years, Abraham, to see and hold the Son of Promise. That's strong faith. But it seems that only a few can maintain that kind of faith while thanking God for the answer in advance. This kind of faith that refuses to doubt and waver when things do not seem to be going as requested of God. This is the kind of faith God desires for us. And this is how we can get tangible things from God, answers from God. Santos, would you put that video? A few years back, I read about this story about, you're talking about raising the dead. In one of Reinhard Bonnke's, Reinhard Bonnke is a German preacher, gospel preacher, wonderful man of God, very humble man of God. In one of his meetings, a lady brought a dead man who had been dead for 3 days in the mortuary, signed, everything stuck up, you know. And she said, God, you promised me that if I pray, you'll raise the dead. She brought the dead man, who actually had a car accident and died, brought the dead man to the meeting, and God raised the dead man. God raised the dead man. Folks, if this book is a myth, you might as well throw it and go about your life living the way you want to. It is the truth. It is the truth, the only truth. And you and I are called to live like that. There's a small snippet. It's not. You can go on YouTube. You can read about it, Pastor Daniel Okechukwu. But that's the name of the man. And then he went about preaching the good news. Hey!
Amen.
I'm no longer dead. But there's a small snippet where he talks about it, and he talks about faith, and I thought this was so appropriate. You don't have it? Okay, let me get you the... Did it get deleted? Practice faith. Oh, is this it? Okay.
And this man had been raised from the dead.
Yes.
And they called me in to watch it, and I'm like, wow, that God would move so powerfully in your ministries. What is it about your ministry that causes God to do incredible miracles?
Well, I think this has something to do with the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of God is inherent in the gospel. And people who preach the gospel with faith see the same what the apostles saw. And it is...
Back to life, we will see this in Jesus' name.
I agree.
And we have been given that measure of faith. And I know that most of you have been growing. But I think now it's to take it at face value and go about doing good and healing all the disease. You know what? In the scripture, if you will see in your bulletin, that's a scripture. God gave his disciples authority. Amen. He called his 12 disciples to him, gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And I cast this demon in the computer out in the name of Jesus, and it is done. And to heal all sicknesses, kinds of sicknesses, and all kinds of disease. Is there anything exempt? All kinds, it says. I think in the Greek it means all kinds. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. The interesting thing, this I read about a few weeks back. The interesting thing about this is Judas Iscariot was part of that. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. Cleansed the lepers. He freely received. What about us? We who have the Holy Spirit not with us, but in us. How much more? We should be going about like Peter, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up. We should turn this city upside down. You know, that's what they said in the apostles of Paul and Silas. Those people who turned the world upside down, oh my goodness, they are here. They are here. We need a reputation, a new reputation. A new reputation that says that we don't compromise on faith. We take God at face value and we live it both in our personal lives and in the lives of others. That is the only way we can grow. That's the only way we ought to grow. Are we good? Okay. We will continue to pray. You know what? Let's do this. Let's break into groups. Let's break into groups, and when we come back, we'll figure it out and we'll play that. So, your bulletins.
And his wife had the faith to bring him in an ambulance after 3 days in the mortuary into my meeting. And I just was dedicating a church in Onitsha, Grace Chapel, and then they took the corpse out of the coffin, put it in the basement, and while I was praying and preaching there, suddenly,
life.
There he was.
Wow.
He fully recovered, and I just have written a book to recount the whole story called He's Breathing. It will be out soon.
Wow. Talking about books, you've written a book here called Taking Action.
Yes.
And there's so much in this book that we could talk about, but I want to focus on healing, because that's a huge topic in the church. So why is it that some people get healed and others don't?
I'd say it has something to do with faith. It could be, I always used to think the sick had to have that faith. And then according to your faith, the sick person's faith, it shall be unto you. But I have learned in my life that God has many different avenues. This is what it is. It can be your faith. It can be my faith. It can be the faith of a congregation. And sometimes Jesus heals if there is no faith, because God is God.
God is God. Now, for someone watching who maybe they're going through a sickness, or they know someone who's sick, and they've been praying, and they have faith, but yet they've seen, you know, no results. I want to ask, you know, the hard questions for the people who don't, maybe they believe for healing and then they died, or, you know, something didn't happen. What would you tell them about who God is, even if they don't get healed?
John the Baptist was very disappointed when Jesus didn't seem to fit his prophecy. And he sent out from prison his disciples to inquire whether he was the Jesus he had prophesied about. What had he prophesied? He said, he who comes after me, he is greater than I, because he is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. So they came back and reported, John, Jesus, we talked to him, and he said, tell him the blind see, the cripples walk, the dead are raised. He must be the Messiah. I think John must have said, but did he baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire? That was the prophecy. So what did Jesus say in the end? To just answer the question of John the Baptist, the doubter, he said to him, blessed is he who is not offended in me. When everything is said and done, Jesus turns to all of us and says, blessed are you that is not offended in me. And since that day when I understood that, I decided to rejoice with those who are healed and to keep on praying with those who are not yet healed. But Jesus never fails.
For somebody who's watching, who's like looking, who's heard about your ministry, about, you know, the power of God and how he raises people from the dead and he heals the sick, and they want that for themselves. Maybe they're sitting and they're watching and thinking, I want that. What would you tell them?
Well, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. You know, the word believe there is phobio in the Greek. Fear not, only believe. So the antidote to fear is not courage. Come on, pick up your socks. You know, be cheerful. It'll all turn out well. That's all nonsense. He said, fear not, only believe. Faith is the antidote to fear. And faith wipes fear out. Fear is the dark room in which people develop their negatives. But if our faith cancels all phobia, all doubts, all fears, Lord, I believe.
Alrighty. Did you all have a good session? Okay. Let me stop here. I'm going to quote A.W. Tozer, who said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by our own selves. Let me encourage you. That mission field outside that door is waiting for you and me to walk in power, authority, and dominion with all the goodness of God, with all the health of Jesus, the wealth of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the favor of Jesus. And they are ready for it. So, what are we waiting for? Let's go out and be just like Jesus. And through that, the world will be transformed, and we start right here in Fort Wayne. Amen? Amen? Amen. Any questions, thoughts, comments? Any questions? A measure of faith, but you help us to grow in that faith to where it becomes strong faith, unwavering faith, great faith, faith that moves mountains, faith that goes through, oh God, into the hearts of men and women, and changes the world upside down, inside out. And I thank you that you turn to us and say, now you go do it, as I have done. Lord, I thank you. You have called us, you have equipped us, you have anointed us, you have gifted us faith, your faith, God-like faith. And God, if there are people out in the world who have not seen, then I say, send us. Send us So we can walk like Jesus. We can do exactly what he did, going about doing good. Oh God, yes, send us. And we thank you that all glory and all honor would be to you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.